Hi, I'm Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Heather here along with Brittany.
Hey.
So when we started Okayest Moms, our whole goal was to really just find more people like us, people that weren't living this squeaky clean Instagram life, because that was not our reality at all. And, you know, it's funny that there's like this like expression that the more you, I guess it's not really an expression, but I don't know what it is, but like the more
like Ramona with her idioms right now.
No, like the more you are honest and open and genuine about who you are and what you stand for, the more you attract people who are of the same mindset, and you start to repel, feels like a very strong word because we're not really out to repel anybody, but you know, you and those people kind of find their way out that don't necessarily align with you. And so
you find your people.
Yeah, exactly. And that has been so true over the last three? We keep forgetting how many years. The last three
I would have
years.
Sworn it was 2 years, but no, it's been 3 years.
I thought it was four, so it feels like 100.
Yeah, I'll take that as a compliment. I don't know.
Well, you have to remember that 2020 counts as like 300 years.
87 years.
Yeah. So, but I'm really excited for our guest today because I feel like she is one of those people who we've attracted by telling our truth.
I totally agree.
All right, so we're going to take a quick sponsor break, and then we will dive into our episode.
This episode is sponsored by Regency Centers. The Marketplace is part of the local community located at the intersection of Highway 113 and West Covell Boulevard near University of California, Davis. Its retailers and culture reflect the lifestyle needs of the neighborhoods that surround the center.
The Marketplace actually brings back so many memories for me, which is so random, but my husband actually went to UC Davis and was one of those neighbors that you mentioned. And I remember back in college when I would go and visit him, we actually went to this shopping center all the time. There's a Safeway there where we'd go and pick up, you know, like the one or two things that we needed for dinner on the off chance we actually cooked something. But let's be honest, it was mostly just like snacks for the movies or something. And there was also a Petco where we would go and get pet food and stuff for his pet cat. There's a CVS and a Jack's Urban Eats and a couple of different nail salons. So it's really just a mix of eateries, retail, and services.
In addition to the Marketplace in Davis, Regency Centers has 28 other local area shopping centers to meet all your essential shopping needs. Visit regencycenters.com to find a shopping center nearest you. And we're back. And I am so excited to introduce our friend, our podcast guest, Kristen, who is also a podcast host. She is the host of Confessions of a Supermom Wannabe, and that was our first podcast we did, Heather? Second.
Okay. But yes, Kristen was kind enough to have us on as guests, and so we had to return the favor because we just had the best time chatting with you, and we figured why not continue the fun.
I'm so happy that you guys did. Thank you.
It's actually quite a nice relief to not be recording at 8 p.m.
Well, and you guys are an hour behind me, so your kid's bedtime is also my bedtime.
Oh yeah.
So I'm like, oh man, an hour and a half to 2 hours at 9 p.m. You guys are not gonna get a coherent me.
No, I don't blame you. I'm hardly coherent recording at that time.
So, Kristen, you're in Colorado, like you mentioned. That's why you're ahead of us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how the podcast came to be, and it grew out of a blog, and just your family, and just tell us what makes you tick.
Yeah, so my kids are 14 months apart. And when they were little, they're teenagers now, they're 15 and 16 now. But when they were little, I just felt like I was in a haze all the time. It was hard. And I remember very distinctly, and I tell this story all the time, I once had to take them to the grocery store by myself. It didn't happen very often, but when they were, I had like a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old, or a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, something, you know, those like,
it all blends together.
Satanic toddler days, you know? And so I was at the grocery store with them by myself, and neither one of them could really, you know, walk around the store. And I had two kids in the cart, and I'm checking out. And I remember looking at the cashier like I was a hostage. Like, I wanted to mouth to them, like, help me, please help me. Because it's so hard. And, you know, there, I saw a meme the other day that was like, society is like, moms, I don't know how you do it. And moms are like, I think you guys posted it. And moms are like, no, really help us. We're not doing it. And everyone's like, oh my God, how do you do it? And we're like, we're not, please help us.
Rockstar mom. No.
Yeah. No, seriously, I'm dying.
Do anything.
So I remember having all of these feelings, but for whatever reason, whether it was pressure from myself or pressure from the world around me, I felt like I couldn't express that, and I felt like I needed to hold it all together and present this image of a perfect mom. You know, we would go to church every Sunday, and, you know, for those who have anything that they have to do in the morning with any sort of deadline, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be church, but there, you know, there's like screaming and crying and like crap on the walls, and somebody has a blowout, and the kids have a blowout too. And, you know, it's like a whole thing, and you're screaming and crying, and mom and dad are, you know, we're fighting with our spouses and all of these things. But then we show up at this place all bright eyed and, oh, everything's fine. I would show up with my kids in our double stroller, and I would just wave at people and, oh, it's great. No, I don't need any help. I've got this. I've got, like, that was my key phrase. Like, I've got this. And I had this pressure of trying to just make sure that everyone knew that I was okay, that I was a good mom, because if they saw me cry, then clearly I wasn't a good mom. You know, all of those lies that we tell ourselves. And I thought that that image would make people like me and want to be my friend. You know, I wanted them to admire me, and I just wanted to be that super mom. As we all, I think, have that moment where, like, I really want people to think that I've got it all together. And I lived my life like that for many years. And one day, and it's the dumbest story, but it stands out, I was in this small group of people, and we were going around the room. We were all parents, and we were going around the room talking about the household chores that we let go. That, like, what is it that you just don't do? And I, first of all, never have had a clean house, but I did not want to admit that because I panic clean before everybody comes over, right? As one does. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And I had, like, worked myself up to this. And so I finally found this one thing, and I'm like, okay, you know, I prepped myself. I was so embarrassed to say this at the time, but I said, I don't match my socks. All of the socks go in one basket, and it's every man for himself. You just pick a sock. And so nobody in my family wears matching socks. Like, my socks don't match right now. And I was so embarrassed to say that. I mean, now it's like the dumbest thing. And I say it all the time. I'm like, that is the least of what is going on in my house sometimes. But the woman next to me was also a mother of two. And I'm like, does anyone else, like, is that just me? Am I a terrible mother? You know, I'm having all of these emotions about it. And she looks at me, and she lifts her feet up, and she pulls her pants, her pant legs up, and her socks don't match. And, you know, it's like the silliest thing, but it released me to go, oh my gosh.
And now, well, if I've seen that like advertise as like a mom hack, like buy everybody the same socks and then you don't have to match them, or like, or just like, that's such a, like, yes, a mainstream thing now.
Right. Well, we didn't have Pinterest or Facebook really then to talk about hacks like that. Like, duh, like that's genius. I don't even know why they sell colored socks. Let's just all have the same socks, like, you know, some kind of communist nation. I don't know. So I, from there, I thought, okay, well, what else could I say? What else could I say that, you know, if that would not only set me free, but have someone else, let someone else feel that same feeling of that, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. So out of that came just a little blog called The Supermom Wannabe, and it's still kind of a little blog, but I also have the podcast where I just talk to other women and we talk about big stuff and little stuff and everything in between. And so what else could we share? And so on the podcast, it's my favorite thing to, we always talk about a wannabe confession and the thing that, you know, we think that we're the only ones who do it, but everyone else does it too. Or, you know, you find that camaraderie among moms where it's like, oh my gosh, when people come over, I'm not the only one who puts dirty dishes away back in the cabinet so they don't see my full sink of dishes. You know, it's funny things like that. And it's just been a really good way. I found that in trying to look perfect all the time, that was actually isolating me from having the mom friends that I wanted, because they thought that like I had it together, and because they didn't have it together, we couldn't be friends. And I was thinking the same thing about other moms because nobody was talking about their stuff. And so we're all just sitting around thinking that everybody has it all together, and we're all so lonely. And so my mission is to make people laugh, but also to connect us and realize that we can all change the world around us if we just say, like, dude, I'm the most okayest mom that you ever met. Like, okayest is a compliment.
Totally. I think we all need that connection so much more than ever right now, and especially over the last few years. There are so many more things that unite us than divide us. And if we can bond over something as little as mismatched socks, what else can we connect over? There's so many other things like that. And I think that's really what we're all missing right now. We all want to feel accepted and connected. And like you said, the more open and honest you are, the more open you are to making connections like that.
Yeah. And that's why I love you guys so much. When you started everything up, I'm like, oh, you are my people. Okayest moms. Like, no one's trying to be the world's greatest mom. And the ones that are killing themselves, because I've been there. We're killing ourselves just to be the greatest mom, that we're missing out on not only connections with other people, but connections with our kids and who our kids are supposed to be. I think that we've spent so much time trying to be the Pinterest mom, or trying not to be what our parents or our step-parents or the adults in our lives were, that we're missing out on who our kids really are. So I love what you guys are doing. And, you know, I've been a big fan since the beginning.
Oh, well, thank you. The feeling is mutual.
Oh.
Have you felt a shift in kind of parenting over the last, because you said your kids are 14 and 15 now, or 15 and 16?
15 and 16.
So you've been in the game a little bit longer than us. Have you felt that shift, like, as you've kind of gone through it, from this needing to be perfect to kind of letting things slide a little bit more?
You know, that's a really good question. I don't know that I've ever really thought about it, but now that you mentioned it, yeah. I mean, it's brought me closer to my kids, because I think in a world 10 or 15 years ago where I would kind of shush them or say, no, we don't do that, that's not polite, it was always about, I really wanted my kids to be the most polite kids and the most well-spoken kids. And that's great. And, you know, manners are still important to us. But when they make mistakes, or when they say something in a crowd that, you know, maybe isn't politically correct, you know, if it's not hurting someone, I don't reprimand them anymore. And, you know, I think that they feel that shift too, that they see us trying to be real and not, you know, be so perfect all the time, that it does open up conversations between my kids and me.
Yeah, it's hard to not think of your kids as extensions of yourself, and how they represent themselves is a reflection on you. And I definitely have a hard time letting that go. Brittany is really good at that. She's really good about making space for her kids and letting them be themselves and not trying to. It's hard to let that go because, like you said, it's all about impressions sometimes and how you move through the world, and all those things are important to an extent, but it really is, we need to let it go because it's not. And I've learned that with my kids because I can't control them at all. So I've been forced to let that go.
Well, and it's hard to remember that they're their own people, because when they're born, you don't know that. You don't really see, you see little things, but they are 100% dependent on you for everything, that it's easy to get caught in that stage of life, of your kid's life, and think, well, my opinions are their opinions. And even from a young age, my kids started having their own, even political opinions, that they would say something, they wouldn't know it was a political opinion, but they would say something and I would be like, who taught you that? Where did that come from? Did your teacher say that? No, I just thought of it on my own. And so you're remembering that they are their own person, and you're so right. It's so hard to remember that they are not always an extension of you. They might be a representation of you and your family, and that's a conversation that we have. But there have been times when teachers have said, well, your son or daughter did this, and instead of thinking about, okay, where is this coming from, how can we tackle this, I immediately was embarrassed and apologetic, and I'm so sorry they did this, and I can't believe you did that, kid, and We're not gonna make you feel that way anymore. It's fine to be apologetic, but let's really think about, okay, where is this coming from, and why do you feel this way that makes you act this way? So that's really hard not to take it personally.
Yeah. Well, we put all this time and effort into raising our kids, and it feels a little bit like letting them go out in the world and make their own mistakes feels really scary. And that's the only way they're going to learn, though,
It's super scary. It's super scary, especially when you're afraid that their mistake is going to possibly hurt them physically or emotionally. And it's scary because as much progress as we've made as a mom community, as a parenting community, there's still that judgment out there. There are still people on the internet, and I've even had people close to me, you're letting your kid do that. You guys are doing that. And you feel that judgment. And so it's hard to navigate through that.
Yeah. And even just questions about stuff like that, I always read into it like, oh God, like, am I?
Oh, should I not? Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm always hardest on myself because I'm anticipating those questions. And so I'm always trying to navigate and be one step ahead of all those judgments and questions and curiosities. And it's hard to not feel like you have to explain yourself, especially if you're going slightly against the grain.
Yeah. But what? Oh, yeah. The number of fake conversations in the shower that I've had over things that people may or may not say, I'm embarrassed to admit.
Oh my gosh. I totally do that. Are you familiar with the Enneagram?
Yes.
What number are you?
So I'm a one.
Okay.
With a very, very strong 9 wing. I thought I was a 9 for a little while, but I'm definitely a 1 through and through.
My husband is a 1.
Okay. Yeah. Overachiever, really hard on myself. I don't take criticism well. I try to anticipate any kind of criticism so I can squelch it so they don't have to say it.
Yep. Yeah, it's easier to be harder on yourself than to take it from somebody else.
Correct. Correct.
Which is actually not easy at all.
All right. Okay. How has pandemic life been for you?
It's interesting because I get asked that question a lot, and I feel like we're a bit of an anomaly, not in Colorado. Colorado and California have had similar restrictions, although I think that your guys has gone on way longer than ours. We were able to open hair salons back in May or June. But part of the reason that we are a little bit of an exception in our family is we, my day job, my side gig is we own restaurants. And so operating that through quarantine has been a big part of our time. So we have been out and doing things. Our kids work for the restaurants too. So the kids have been working, and gosh, the more I talk, the more I think that people are going to want to like stone me because I've gotten,
no, my kids have gotten out of the house. You're all essential workers. That's really cool.
Listen, they're not like down hanging out at the park, loitering around. They're working. That's fine.
Well, but I've gotten my kids out of the house, and well, you know, I've had some nice breaks, but it is hard because, you know, we had the lockdown, the stay at home order, which was super harder than I thought it was going to be. Being an introvert, I'm like, okay, yay, we get to stay at home.
Except all these people are around you.
Yeah. So much done. And, you know, but just kind of the weight and the anxiety that hangs in the air is just a lot. And even with us being able to, you know, our restaurants are open at limited capacity, and you sort of have this feeling of some kind of quote unquote normal, but it's still not normal. So we're in this holding pattern of, okay, I can go to a restaurant, but it's not going to be the same. I have to call ahead. I have to, you know, and I don't want to be ungrateful for the fact that restaurants get to be open again. That's what puts food on my table, quite literally. But, you know, just this feeling of like, well, movie theaters aren't open, or school is open, but it's super different and hard. And just this feeling of, it's like we can move forward, but it's not normal, and it gets exhausting. I mean, as a
mom, like half in, half out.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and that's not to say that I would rather have all or nothing, but just the holding pattern is the best way I can think of describing it. And it wears on you, you know, it's like a dull saw that just keeps wearing and wearing. And, you know, I do still have days where I understand the seriousness of what's happening, but I still throw my hands up in the air and I say, I'm just ready for this to be over. I need this to be over. And you don't sort of have that end in sight. You know, it's not like we have a deadline or okay, come this date, it's all going to be, you know, we get to go to movie theaters and we get to go to football games. Like, there's really no end in sight. There's really no, it just feels kind of hopeless sometimes, if I'm being real. And I know that we will get through this, and we will be able to tell our grandchildren all about this, and we'll be able to go to movie theaters and football games again. But in the meantime, it's been rough. And there's been a lot of, even with teenagers and being able to, for them to go to school part-time and go to work, there's been a lot of grieving. And that's something I didn't expect, is that one day one of my kids will walk in and say, this just got canceled, or I can't believe I'm not going to get to do this. And there is a loss and a grieving involved with that, because as a mom, I wish that I could fix it, and I wish that there's something I could do, and there's not. It's literally like a death.
I was going to say, I bet those feelings are just compounded with teenagers, because we have, our kids are younger, and so there's obviously disappointment that comes along with it, but you know, they're not out socializing on their own. They don't have their own lives really yet. They do what we do. And so I'm sure it's only harder with teenagers.
Yeah, because they kind of have their own life in some ways. They have their own activities. And my daughter is very involved in competitive cheerleading. And COVID kind of hit right at the peak and at the start of their travel season. Mm-hmm. And it's always big crowds involved, and all of that got canceled. And I mean, that's really, in the history of this sport, has never happened before. And so just processing that And, you know, they started high school again. Well, I have a sophomore and a junior, but when they started school, you know, there is no homecoming. There are no football games. They have all these traditions that involve the whole school being in the gym together, and they can't do that. And for them to be able to process that it's hard. It's hard to watch.
It is hard. I think fear of the unknown, like we're conditioned to like have an answer, have a goal, like be ready for the next thing, and not having that, like us as a collective society is just, we're floundering. We don't know how to do this. We weren't growing up in World War II America where everything was unknown, you know, like this generation has not done this. And my hope is that like our generation of kids, they're going to be so freaking resilient. They're learning how to deal with these big feelings as kids, as teenagers. I just think this sucks now. This can mean nothing but good things for them in the future.
That's such a great way to look at it. And with moms too, I posted something on social recently that was like, no mom in history has had to do what we are doing right now. And I'm not saying that we have it worse than the World War II moms or, you know, moms during other hard times in history, but no one has had to do this, what we're doing in the society that we're living in with social media and with a pandemic, and no one has had to do this before. There's no point of reference. And it's hard to remember that when you feel like you should have an answer.
Totally.
It just feels like, and maybe this is just a rosy perspective I'm allowed to take with young kids, but it seems like we were talking earlier about letting your kids make mistakes, and what a good gift that is to be able to make these mistakes while they're young, when, you know, with their parents around to help guide them. And this, I don't know, I just keep coming back to, I feel terrible for these teenagers because, like you said, they're missing out on so much. But I do think, like Brittany said, just to echo her thoughts, that they will be so much more resilient because they are lucky enough to have you walking this through with them. Not that we have a guidebook, but at least we can kind of help absorb a little bit of that. And I don't know, maybe that's an atypical rosy perspective for me, but.
No, I think it's a great way to look at it. I never really thought about that before, how resilient and how, I mean, they truly will be prepared or ready for anything in their adult life, because I feel like they've just gotten all of the unexpected punches.
That's for sure. So let's switch gears here a little bit. Sorry, my brain just like
I switched from coffee to a Bloody Mary, by the way.
Oh yeah, girl. So we talk a lot about mom guilt, and Brittany and I only know that through the lens of young kids, but do you still feel the same sense of guilt with teenagers that you did with toddlers?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry to say, guys, it doesn't go away.
Damn it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, and now I feel like, you know, my mom guilt is probably not any better or worse than anyone else's, but I feel like it's, for me, it's even worse now, because when they were little, I was like, okay, I feel guilty about this, but they're probably not even going to remember.
Oh, no.
But now that they're older and something happens, I'm like, they are going to remind me about this when I am 60. That may or may not be true, but that compounds my mom guilt, because I'm like, oh my God, they're going to talk about this in therapy. They're going to tell their kids about this thing that grandma did, you know? So yeah, there is, and I get, being, again, being a one, I can just spiral into mom guilt, and all of my friends and my husband are like, dude, this is not that big of a deal. Like, just because you don't cook dinner, you know, 5 nights a week or whatever the thing is that I'm super focused on, it does not mean that it's going to send your kids to therapy.
That's so funny. I feel like I already have that with my 6-year-old, who remembers things that he should not remember.
Yeah.
Like, there's this picture on our fridge of him giving like a mad face to his brother at a museum. And he's like, yeah, I was mad that day because you weren't listening to me. And I'm like, what? So he will definitely be talking about me in therapy if it makes you feel better.
We can only just hope that when our kids become parents, they have those moments where it's like, oh, that's why my mom wasn't listening, because she was so distracted by all of the other things going on.
How freaking hard this is.
And how difficult this is. My friend says she calls her mom on the regular and goes, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry when I was a kid, I treated you. Now I get it. So we can only hope that our kids grow up to do that.
Right. Oh, gosh. So we talked about the guilt. It stays the same. Are there any pearls of wisdom for the mothers of younger kids coming behind you?
Because I am petrified.
I was too. So when my kids were, you know, around 10, I started looking at parents of teenagers in the eye and saying, what am I going to do? Tell me what I'm going to do. I'm terrified of teenagers. And that's real. But the best advice that I ever got that we have used with our teenagers is, just like any human, teenagers need boundaries. And as long as they remain within the boundaries, if you're good to me, I will be good to you, and we can be simpatico. And we've kind of lived by that advice. And so boundaries has been a huge idea in my life personally and as a mom. And so you kind of start, I think that as parents, we want to start really small and keeping the fence really small around our kids to protect them from fill in the blank. You know, if it's drugs or alcohol or bad friends, you know, we really want to protect them. But our philosophy is, let's have the boundaries sort of wider and out here and give them a chance to earn trust. And trust has been a big part of our family, in that if you've earned our trust, then we're good. And if you break our trust, then the boundaries get a little bit smaller. And trust, you know, it doesn't always have to be freedom or punishment. Trust has built between us and our kids to where they not only most of the time will do what we ask them to do, but they'll come to us with friend drama or, hey, I want to make this decision about what class I should take. What do you think? So that idea of boundaries and building trust and, hey, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be trustworthy here, not only empowers them, but I've seen it bring us close together. So that's kind of a bigger idea. But when it comes to just teenagers in general, you just have to remember that the hormones are raging and their brains aren't fully developed. And so that combination can be very difficult. And it is no lie that they call them three-nagers. I have watched my friends with three-year-olds and I'm like, I can relate to you right now, because that is how my 14-year-old is acting. So pay attention to what they're doing when they're three, and you might be able to reason with them when they are 13 because of what you experience. Like, I feel like the universe kind of gives us that sneak preview.
Everything's cyclical, right?
It is. It is. You know, the hard part is going back to, like, they have their own opinions now. Mom and dad don't know anything when you're a teenager, when you're in that state, when you're in that, like, hormonal, they do get tired. They do need naps.
Snacks.
they need to eat. They need, and yes, and everything. Here's some good pearls of wisdom. When it comes to teenagers, just about any problem or fight can be resolved with fast food. Like, their love language is milkshakes and French fries or Starbucks. I'm like going to go broke over Starbucks, because seriously, like, if they're in a bad mood and I'm like, okay, dude, like, why are you talking to me like this? All I have done is pick you up from school. What's the problem?
What did I do to you?
What are these people doing to you? Nothing. I'm fine. It's fine. Don't talk to me. Just pull into the Starbucks and it changes everything.
Nobody gets hurt.
Nobody gets hurt.
I mean, I honestly can relate to that. When I'm hormonal, I just need a nap and a snack. Yes. And I'll be fine.
Do you guys have a Dutch Brothers out in Colorado? I know that's what all the teenagers hear. It's Dutch Brothers or nothing.
And we're not allowed, us adults are not allowed to call it Dutch Brothers. It's Dutch Bros.
Sorry, Dutch Bros.
Dutch Bros, the teenagers, you automatically lose cool points if you call it Dutch Brothers. It's Dutch Bros. And yes, it is like the spot the kids love. My daughter has her driver's license and she's there every other day.
Those stickers.
Oh my gosh. And like the car hangy thingies from your rearview mirror, air fresheners. I don't know what they are, but she's like, oh, I got another one. Yes.
Wait, so is she driving?
She's driving and it is the best, worst thing ever.
Oh my god.
So I said earlier she does competitive cheer and her gym is a good 30 minutes from our house. And
oh my gosh.
So she will, I've gotten my time back in driving her, but you know, there's always you hear a siren go by and you go,
I was going to say, you're probably just, okay. Yeah. You're probably just using that time now to like track her or something.
Yeah. I have all the tracking apps. Text me when you get there.
I have to know, did she have her own car? Did she pay for it? How did that work?
So we bought an old used car from a friend for dirt cheap and goal, I think. So since our son is just a year behind, the goal is for them to share a car when he gets his license. So that's why we bought the car. We're huge advocates of work for what you have and spending their own money. But we did buy the car and then it's up to her to pay for the gas.
Okay. Okay, so I paid for my car and the insurance and gas and everything. And my husband, it comes up occasionally because his parents paid for everything. And so occasionally it'll come up and we'll talk about what to do with our kids. And I'm like, screw them. They have to do it themselves, just like I did. He's like, well, that's not fair. And I'm like,
those are conversations that my husband and I have too. And my husband says, you know, when my parents paid for my college, I kind of blew it all away. And then blew it all off. And then when it was up to me to pay for college, I actually tried. So that's a big conversation that we're having is what are we going to do for them in college? And we're really leaning toward allowing them to work their way through college and we'll be able to help in other areas. But
yeah, I mean, there's certainly a middle ground, you know, there's always something between the all or nothing, but I also paid my way through college and I did get a lot of help through grants and scholarships, but there is something else to be said for it of, you know, you having ownership of it yourself. And
there's such a value in working for what you have.
That gives you a different perspective on college, on life, on everything, I think. So, but I mean, I definitely also see the value in helping your kids out a little bit and taking some of that stress off their plate.
And for us, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, allowing your kids to make mistakes. And that is so hard. You know, it's so hard to watch them make mistakes, but this is something that we've done. And they both have jobs. They get an allowance, but they have to buy most of what they have, and we'll help them out with essentials. And of course we put a roof over their head. We don't make them pay rent or anything, but they have their own bank accounts. And if they want to spend their money on going to Dutch Bros every single day, that's something where I don't say, no, you can't do that because it's their money. And if that's how you want to spend your money, you're welcome to. But when you get down to zero, I can't help you. So that's something that we're trying to teach them is that, okay, you can spend your money on whatever you want, but when it runs out, we're out of luck. You got to work more hours or figure out how to make the money. So,
I'm not ready for these giant. This pandemic better be sorted out by the time my kids are that old because I can't do this and that at the same time. You are amazing.
You're a rock star. You're like, no, help me.
No, really, I'm not.
No, you're great.
You've been so good. Oh my gosh.
We get it. We all get it right in some areas. We all have strengths.
That's right.
That's one thing that we have to remember is that, you know, it's cool and funny to talk about where we fall short, but I think that we need to also move into the place where we're celebrating each other's strengths. And, you know, the Pinterest mom who's crafty and makes all these cute, like I saw somebody post a rocket ship sandwich that she made for her son for his school lunch. She probably loves doing that and gets a lot of joy and fulfillment out of doing that. And so I think celebrating what we're good at and what we're, where our strengths are and what we're passionate about is something that we need to talk about more too.
For sure. Well, it definitely sounds like you are giving your kids some amazing life skills. So
thank you.
Good work.
Thank you.
Yes. So on your podcast, you have Wannabe Confessions. Here we have Okayest Mom Moments. Do you have one you want to share?
Just one? Oh my gosh.
Share as many as you want.
I love them.
I've been thinking about this and there's so many different directions I can go. Instead of giving you one example, I'm going to give you something that I've actually cried over this. So it's going to be funny, but know that like this is an actual struggle. I've asked my friends this and maybe your listeners can relate. Does anybody have that one kid that if you have multiple kids, the one kid that just always seems to get the short end of the stick, that like just doesn't quite get everything the other kids get? I feel I have that kid and I only have two kids. And I just feel like he gets gypped on so much in his life that I feel constantly guilty. He's the kid that... So my daughter got her driver's license on her birthday because of some weird glitch in the birth certificate system. I had the wrong birth certificate for him to get his permit. So he didn't get to get his permit on his birthday. He's not going to get his license on his birthday. And I was like in tears, like, I'm so sorry that you're not going to get to drive on your birthday. He's the kid that... We had a parent-teacher conference for his middle school, and all of his middle school teachers set time out of their day, including his assistant principal, to meet with us about his academic progress. And he was in a room with all like six or seven of them, and we forgot to go.
Oh, no. Sorry.
It's like things like that where this poor kid is going to be, we talk about being in therapy, like he's going to be like, my parents just kept forgetting about me.
I feel like this is just what happens when you're the baby of the family, no matter how many kids you have, because this is kind of like my youngest brother and I come from a family of four. And he's just kind of like along for the ride.
Yes. Hey guys, I'm still here.
Yes. Yes. And so our daughter gets like cream of the crop, like didn't give her sugar until her first birthday, got all of the nice things. And our son is like, oh, right. You're here.
Have a cupcake.
I kind of feel like that because I have two boys that are like 2 years apart. And the youngest one just kind of got all the stuff as the older one did. Cause it's kind of like, you can't separate them at that point. You know what I mean? Like here's some sugar when you're 6 months old.
No, I mean, there's so many instances where it just, you know, I'm trying. He didn't get to go to his middle school orientation because I didn't click submit on the form. And so we showed up and they're like, you're not on the list.
Well, that's dumb. Why?
It was like an extra thing. It was like a day camp. It wasn't like the actual school orientation. It was like extra thing to meet people and to do it. Yeah, they did like bonding things. And we showed up and they turned him away because they didn't have enough teachers there to cover. And I'm like, I swear I hit the button and I didn't.
This just makes me think you need a vacation because it's, I mean, you're trying your best.
And he's such an old soul. We call him our old man. He was like seven going on 85. And you know, every time I'm like, I'm sorry you're missing out on these things. He's like, Mom, it's okay. This is not a big deal in the big picture of things, which makes me feel even worse for some reason because he's so cool and mature about it. I'm like, can you just throw a fit about it? Can you just? He's like,
I can handle that.
I'm good. So yeah, I'm like the world's okayest, you know, mom of my youngest.
But your daughter's living her best life, it sounds
like. She is living her best life. I mean, she's living the best life a 16-year-old girl could live.
Hey, 50% is the best any of us can ask for right now.
Oh, I didn't think about it like that. That's true.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kristen. We always have the best time talking with you. And thank you for your pearls of wisdom that teenagers aren't as scary as I think they are.
Oh, they're such cool people. They're so cool. We love hanging out with our teenagers. So, no, thank you guys so much. And I can't wait for all of this pandemic stuff to be over because I'm still determined to make it out to one of your parties.
Oh, that would be, I can't wait till we can throw a party.
You will be top of the guest list and you don't even have to click submit to come. We'll let you.
Yeah, if you need me to fill out a form, I'm out of luck.
Could you let our listeners know where they can find you?
Yes, absolutely. So I am on Facebook and Instagram at the Supermom Wannabe. And I have the Confessions of a Supermom Wannabe podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts or at supermompodcast.com. I'm also at thesupermomwannabe.com for just fun blogs on little things like hair and clothes and parenting and just mom stuff.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.